Hour number two on this Monday morning. Darren McFarland here on the south side of town in Rutherford County. Willie Donick representing East Nashville. Chase McCabe holding the fort down in Bellevue. Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, our Wholesale Inc. game studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock we are going to unveil our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years. So we're looking forward to that today at 1 o'clock. And then our voting will begin on tomorrow, the final day of the month of March. Let's bring in Teron Davenport. Let's talk with TD. That's his podcast, Talking with TD. He does a fantastic job with that. He's always got really, really good interviews. You need to check it out, especially in these times. I mean, especially in these times. And he joins us every Monday on the program. Teron, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Just, holding it down like we have to continue to do.
Yeah, how crazy is this bid? We haven't really had a chance to talk to you about what it's been like on your end. Just, you know, as we all experience something brand new for the first time, how's it been for you not having sports? I mean, yeah, you're actually covering one sport that is alive and well and actually producing news. Really, there's not much else going on out there. But I guess for you, I guess it's been a little bit easier with that being said.
No, it hasn't been easier. It just got to go day by day. I started to watch new shows. I've watched more TV in this last week and a half or so than I've watched probably in the last 5 to 10 years.
I'm with you on that. Yep, you're right.
I've been binging on Pablo Escobar documentaries. It's fascinating. But, yeah, I mean, as far as just how things have changed, it's just a lot different. Like, you can't turn on Sports Center and actually see live highlights. It's definitely crazy. And it's just, you know, I'm a Mets fan, right? So this is hope is supposed to spring eternally at this point for me, and it's not happening. So, you know, that's kind of what's going on for me in the sports world.
Yeah, the Mets, leave it up to them to deliver bad news to their fans like you and Willie. There's no season, so it's already bad enough. Like, there's no season right now, but then they have to deliver that Noah Syndergaard has already had successful Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I was joking with Lenny Dykstra on Twitter about this, and it's just unfortunate that this team just. I stick by him, and I know Willie does too. But it's just, man, it's just one heart. It's like staying with a mate that continues to cheat on you. You know what I mean? They just keep breaking your heart, but you keep coming back for more.
Did I just hear that you were interacting with Lenny Dykstra on Twitter?
Oh yeah, Lenny is awesome on Twitter. I actually had an idea pop into my mind last night, like 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, you know, I'm going to reach out to some of the producers and just see if I could find somebody at ESPN because I want to do a 30 for 30 on it.
Teron, by the way, I will sign up to watch that for sure. I'm raising my hand. Yes, I'm in. I'm going to send you a Twitter video that Lenny put out recently.
Don't do that to him.
Why?
He's probably already seen it.
Well, I know. I just want to send, because I've already sent it to Chase and Willie. We had fun off the air. We can't talk about it yet. We can't talk about it on the
airwaves.
But I will send that to you privately in a text. Just if you haven't seen it, you'll have to watch a Lenny video from, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. But I'll sign up for that 30 for 30.
Yeah.
I'll sign up for that 30 for 30. I just was looking at Sportsline. They put out win totals for the AFC South. And I'm just going to ask you, and this was in the last 10 minutes or so, care to guess? They have two teams tied at the top for the most over-under for wins this season. Can you name those two teams in the AFC South?
I'm going to say Colts and Texans, honestly.
It's a good guess. Good guess. How about the Colts and the wrong T, Titans, not Texans. How about that? Titans and Colts, 8.5 wins. Texans, 8 wins. Jags, 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you make of that?
I see it going 11-5. I see it going 11-5, 10-6, Colts, and then Titans. And then there's no telling what's going to happen with the Texans. And the Jaguars, I think they'll be in the top five drafting in 2021.
So what do you make of the moves thus far? And I guess the follow-up is, as we said here, Wednesday will be April, and so we'll be going into draft month. Do you think the Titans, does John Robinson have another move, a significant move in play or in mind before the draft? How would you answer that?
I think he has something in mind as far as adding pass rushing help or adding a player that can impact the quarterback. I think that's something that they're looking at doing. I think their ultimate plan at this point has fallen through, which was obviously Clowney. So the way I look at it,
you do think it's
GMs
fallen through?
Like John Robinson. What's that?
You do think it's fallen through at this point?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's fallen through, but obviously it hasn't gone the way I thought it would have gone as far as them signing them. But, you know, it's something that could happen as we get further away from the opening of free agency. Obviously, his value goes down. So next thing you know, that $20 million a year ticket is going to become more reasonable. But how many years are you going to be able to sign him at that type of rate?
Wow, interesting. So Teron, let's take that premise that Clowney is not in the mix, and you have quite a bit more capital to work with in terms of the salary cap space. What do you think the next moves are? We know the draft is a pretty deep draft at a lot of positions, that and they could address it that way. Are there other veterans out there, if it's not Clowney, especially on defensive line, that you think that they would maybe move resources towards?
Well, I mean, I think Marcus Golden is still someone to consider. He's not solely a defensive end. He's an outside linebacker as well. So I think he still has to be in the mix. But after that, Everson Griffin, maybe. But why would you get rid of a 30-year-old Jarrell Casey to sign a 32-year-old Everson Griffin that's going to probably command $8 to $9 million? That one wouldn't really make sense to me. So I don't see them going that route. I think really, as far as pass rushers are concerned, it's Clowney, Golden, and then it's just, okay, there's an assortment of guys that you could plug into there, but what are they going to give you?
Were you disappointed in the Casey trade?
I was, yeah, for sure. I was very disappointed in the trade initially, and then I made sense of it. I said, okay, well, if the Broncos are taking all of Casey's cap and everything, his cap charge, they're going after Clowney, or they're going to sign Golden and get another player. There are going to be corresponding moves. That's what I thought, and that's how I made sense of it. But obviously those corresponding moves haven't happened, and now it's back to, okay, what was the trade done for?
Well, I'm guessing there's got to be some corresponding moves eventually, but I do wonder if there was plan A. There has to be plan A, plan B, plan C, almost, when you make a trade like that, because you can't guarantee that you're going to get Clowney. So where is Logan Ryan in this equation?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I can't really tell you. I've reached out to his agent multiple times and haven't gotten a return, so I can't tell you exactly where he stands and what's going on there. It's one of those things where, Titans fans should hope that he comes back, but I think they're looking towards the draft, and they're trying to get younger, and they're not rebuilding, they're retooling, it seems like, and they're doing that on the fly.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. So sticking with that, because I was looking at Twitter, and SpotTrack put out a rumored potential NFL trade candidates, and one of the guys that pops up on that list is somebody that you have talked about on our show, on Chasing TD, on this show as well, and that is Matthew Judon from Baltimore. Could you see that possibly plan B or C or whatever could be a trade involving Matthew Judon coming to the Titans?
I don't know that he's a guy that if, I'm going to say no. I'll just put it to you that way. I don't think they would give up a first-round pick. I think the Ravens are going to be looking to get a first-round pick for Judon. And I think you could get a player like that in the draft. You know, I look at some of the guys, maybe not as versatile where you could line them up all over the place the way the Ravens do, but I don't think that's exactly what the Titans need. So I'm going to say no to that one.
The Titans did announce a couple of free agents. Now, they have not officially announced Vic Beasley yet. I know there's some stuff with the physicals and not being able to do that with everything going on. But they did announce Nick, is it Zubnar? Is that how you say his last name? And Ty Samborilo, some depth players. Yeah. What are your thoughts on them?
I mean, I think it's just that, depth players. You know, it's not really anything to exactly go crazy about for Titans fans. I think it's a move. The linebacker from the Chargers, he'll be a special teams guy. I mean, there's a chance he doesn't make the roster too. You know what I mean? So it could go either way. Sambrello, as you know, I've said before, he's a depth guy. He gives them someone who can play both tackle spots. I still think Quisenberry is very firmly in the mix because he gives you that guard play as well. So I don't think either moves are, you know, it's not like you're going to say Tyler Sambrello, championship. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. So these are moves that you see happening that are strictly for depth.
Now, obviously a lot can change with the draft, but we all believe Dennis Kelly is going to be the starting right tackle for this team. You brought up Quisenberry. Do you feel confident that he becomes what Dennis Kelly now used to be? That, I mean, he's caught a touchdown pass too, so he can have that, even that type of versatility, plus, like you said, playing up and down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I feel confident that he could be a guy that could do that for him. I think when you look at this whole picture as far as the draft is concerned, I think a guy like Temple's Matt Hennessy is going to be in play because he could be, you know, and don't get this wrong, Ben Jones played outstanding football, and I'm not saying replace him, but I'm saying down the line he could be a guy that could step in and be your starting center, but he could also give you depth at guard, because one thing you notice they don't have is a guy that could play center, you know, could switch up, be their interior piano man, so to speak, you know, play both guard spots and center. So Hennessy is a good option. I think John Runyon out of Michigan, you know, I think he's another guy, but Quisenberry, he definitely, in my opinion, will be on the roster, and I think he'll take over that Dennis Kelly role.
Teron, they also lock up Mykole Pruitt, who's had a nice couple of years for this team. So are you confident going into training camp with Ferkser, Pruitt, and, of course, Jonnu Smith being those top three tight ends, or would you still like to see that position addressed in the draft?
I think they should address the position in the draft because I think Pruitt has proven himself to be more of an H-back. They'll probably use him in line, but I think if you get a guy like a Devin Asiasi out of UCLA, I think he would be a really good addition for them. There are other guys, too. This isn't a strong tight end class, so I think they could add somebody later, you know, the fifth or seventh round, and get a guy that could come in and help them. So I would actually roll with 3.5 tight ends, so to speak, because you have Pruitt as your H-back, fullback type, and obviously Blasingame will be a fullback for them as well. But I think they definitely should look at adding another player to help them in line.
Teron, last thing. We were kicking around kind of what the NBA's put out there, Brian Windhorst, and kind of some of the discussion pieces that they are having. There have been some college football coaches. We had Trent Dilfer on Friday, a high school coach here in town. You know, I just flat out asked him, are you concerned about this season? And he said, you know, selfishly, you know, there's bigger things to worry about, but selfishly, yes. And so I know that there's been things even floated out there about maybe football season being July, August, September to kind of avoid the cold months. What do you think the NFL is discussing behind the scenes? And I'm obviously just asking you for your opinion, but I can't imagine that they think it's going to be that they think business as usual, right? September, the beginning of September through the end of December, and away we go. What do you think they're talking about?
I think they're saying, let's get through the draft, and then I think they're trying to figure out ways to just make sure that, that everything still goes as planned, because the NFL just seems like a machine. It's the show must go on mindset, but obviously they want to make it as safe as possible. So I would say they're looking at ways to try to make sure that the season still starts exactly when it's supposed to, that first week of September.
I don't think it's about the first week. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But what do you think? How would you go about it? If I'm just asking you, what do you think that they need to be thinking? What, you know, would you have an alternate plan? Would you be thinking about maybe moving this up earlier, or if you could? I mean, what would you say to that?
I would honestly say put it off as much as possible, because we don't know what the situation is going to be at the end of April, let alone May, June, and July, so and even into September. So I would say try to have it start as normal, but have that understanding that you're probably going to have to push it back. That would be my mindset.
Good stuff. Who do you have this week, Teron? Who are you going to be talking to?
Oh, well, you know, we have Jalen Hurts coming on. That's something I've been working and working and working since January, and we got it done. I'm looking forward to this show so much that I'm only having him. I have his quarterback coach on as well, the guy who orchestrated the pro day at Oklahoma. So it's a big show. I'm excited about this, because Jalen Hurts is an outstanding prospect, and I think he's a guy that's one of the top quarterbacks in this draft class.
This will get a lot of people's attention for sure. And you are expected to drop that podcast on Wednesday. Is that correct?
It'll drop Wednesday night into Thursday.
Okay.
That's when it usually works. I'm going to work with Calvin and try to get that one up Wednesday night itself. And just let's run with it.
Sounds good. We will continue to get the message out so people check that out. That will have a lot of people in these parts interested for sure. Teron, be safe. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Talking with TD, there you go. Jalen Hurts is going to be his special guest this week, so
look
be looking for that podcast. That is going to be really, really good for sure. We'll talk about some of the things you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Heard it. Teron's going to interview Jalen Hurts for this week's podcast. He says, and I know he has said this before, he is very high on Jalen Hurts. Before I give my opinion, Willie, I'll start with you. How do you feel about Jalen Hurts at the next level?
I'm not sure I know enough to really be able to tell you. I trust Teron because he really studies the makeup of an individual. He studies the film. He's a pretty good evaluator. The question is what round, all right? We know the quarterback tends to rise up the board more than a lot of positions if you think a guy has a chance. So I guess I would defer. I can't tell
you. Watched him his whole
college
career.
He seems like he's got the he seems to have the intangibles, right? He can move. And we know that the position is evolving. The mobility is something that can be used a lot more. You can make your offense match the skill set of your quarterback a little bit more. I would say he's definitely a pro prospect. I don't know the round that I would say. Is he a guy I want to have in my foxhole? Absolutely. I think he's got all of that stuff.
Yeah, I look at him and, you know, initially when this whole, going into a senior year and this whole conversation started, I was thinking, no way, he's not an NFL quarterback. He's a very good college quarterback. I think he's gone through a lot going to Oklahoma. I mean, he had another tremendous year, but I would have said, I just don't see it at the next level. Now, I'm paying more attention because of people like Teron or Emory Hunt, who's very high on him too, that's, you know, that is a scout and studies these guys and prospects and all of that. I'm paying more attention, but I kind of look at it as I just need to see it to believe it, because what I've seen has shown me he's a really good college quarterback. But can that translate at the next level? Now, with all that said, and I know this is a little bit of a cop-out answer, he could be that guy that everybody, including me, that says, there's no way he's going to make it at the next level, and he just comes in and shocks us all. I could see him because of the makeup that he has, his determination, and just how he's built as a person, that he could be the type to pull that off. But if I'm being honest with you, I just don't see him as a top-tier pro prospect. I think he's definitely going to need some work.
Darren, don't you think that the year at Oklahoma is because of the track record that Oklahoma's had with Murray and then before that Baker Mayfield, you know, those guys have come through the ranks and gone on and played. Had he stayed at Alabama, I saw a stat this morning on SportsCenter shocked me. I didn't realize this. Nick Saban, all of the teams he's coached, you know who the highest drafted quarterback he's ever had has been? Of course, Tua will be different.
Yeah.
Tua will change that. But do you know who it is?
It's probably McElroy or AJ or
AJ McCarron.
AJ McCarron.
It's not a guy that played at Alabama.
Oh, this is from LSU?
Nope.
Oh.
He's not even had a guy like that.
Michigan State?
Michigan State is his highest drafted quarterback.
Wow.
Who was it?
Tony Banks.
Wow. And he was a bust.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he ended up being an NFL starter for a time. He of course, was famously replaced by Trent Dilfer in the middle of the 2000 season as the starter. But I guess my point is this. Hurts leaves Alabama, goes to a passing, you know, type of situation. And I thought he raised his stock doing that, right? He put up the numbers. And he probably advanced in just the overall passing game, because we know Alabama is, you know, they don't rely on their quarterback to have to get it done. You know, he's important, but not the guy that has to run the show, although Tua sort of changed that. But, see what I'm saying? Don't you think he has upped his stock some in the belief because of the track record of Oklahoma quarterbacks in that system, and because he put up very, very good numbers. Those are productive numbers he had.
Look, if you're asking me, would he dazzle people in an interview setting? Of course. Is he going to say and do all the right things? Was I and should everybody be impressed the way he handled his situation at Alabama and the way he took that to Oklahoma? Yes, absolutely. You're talking about a pro, and I don't even know if I would have, I would not have handled it the way he did at his age. I was nowhere near equipped to handle that situation. He could have done like what a lot of kids did, i.e. see the Clemson situation and how that worked out. That worked out really well, huh? Kelly Bryant,
right.
He could have easily pulled a Kelly Bryant. At the time when he was yanked, what was he, 26-2 as a starter? 26-1, something ridiculous? He could have easily been like, are you kidding me? But he didn't. And he was a team player, and he did things the right way. And he handled it like a champ. With all that being said, if you're asking me, to me, the way I look at this is a lot like the same discussion that I had about Joshua Dobbs when he was coming out of Tennessee and everybody was talking about how he was shooting up the draft boards and how there was a time, there was a certain window where people were like, man, he could go first round or at least, you know, early second round. And I was like, come on, guys. You're getting caught up into, is he super smart? Absolutely. Is he going to dazzle you in an interview setting? Absolutely. Can he run? Oh, yeah. Does he have the measurables? Absolutely. He can absolutely. You just sit there and you do all the things at the combine, and it's easy to see Joshua Dobbs going up the charts. So all those boxes are going to get checked. But then you start thinking, okay, can he make the throws at the NFL level? Answer, no, he cannot. And I just question, can Jalen Hurts make the throws at the NFL level?
That's the question, but it's also a modified question, because you don't necessarily have to make all of the throws that you used to if you play in an evolved offense, right? Lamar Jackson, a lot of people would have said that about him. He doesn't make all the throws, but Lamar Jackson has become, one of the best, maybe the best offensive weapon in the game because of all of the things he can do and the way they cater the offense to his strengths. Is a team willing to do that for Jalen Hurts? See, that's what I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And
right
I don't know if Dobbs
two guys.
Is the right comparison either. I mean, I see your point, what you're saying about Dobbs, but I think they're two different players.
Well, I didn't say they're the same player. I'm saying when you talk about when you look at them and when you talk to them, you're going to be impressed wholeheartedly. There are two guys that can run. I mean, they have the same run. They're both deadly with their legs. They're deadly. They're lethal. Both of them can take off and hurt you with their legs. For sure. They were the same. But I'm talking about you talk to those guys, you're going to be impressed. Jalen Hurts is going to impress you when you talk. Joshua Dobbs was going to impress you in an interview setting. I didn't say they were the exact same player. I'm saying a lot of people, when we were on the air and people were talking about Dobbs shooting up the draft board, so I'm like, whoa, let's pump the brakes. The bottom line is, can he make the throws in the NFL? And I said, he cannot make all the throws in the NFL. I don't see it. I do not see it at all. He couldn't do it in college. He was great for the Tennessee. He was. And good things happened on his watch. But we're talking about the next level. It doesn't always translate. And Jalen Hurts, you can say all the same things for. He was great at Alabama. He was great the year at Oklahoma. He's going to say and do all the right things. He's a leader. Dobbs was a leader. That's all fantastic, but in the end, you still have to be able to do certain things at the professional level, and I question whether Hurts can actually do that. Can he do enough to hold down a roster spot for a long period of time in the NFL?
I think Willie makes a great point, though. I think if he's in the right offensive system with the right coach, the answer would be yes. But that's where I think it all the cards have to line. Now, somebody like a Frank Reich, I think he'd be really good for Jalen Hurts. I think you put him in that system, let him back up Phillip Rivers for a year. I think that would be the perfect scenario for him, and then see what happens. But I think all the cards aligning or the stars aligning and him landing in the right system is going to be very important for him.
Let's add this. As we mentioned, if a team is going to spend a first-round pick on a guy, they are going to cater the offense towards him. But if you're not, then you have to sort of work with the offense that's being run for the starters. So let's give you the evaluation of Todd McShay. I'm looking at 24/7 Sports, just a quote or two from Todd McShay from ESPN. I think you're looking at a backup quarterback in the league who potentially, maybe, possibly – developed into a starter. But I wouldn't bank on it. In my opinion, I still think he's a third or fourth round range. We're kidding ourselves if we think he's likely to get out of the first three rounds. So, that's and Mel Kiper did not see Hurts to be a first round pick either, at least based on this article here. I'm just throwing one out there just to have some other evaluations of guys that do this kind of thing. So I think that's what makes it tricky for Jalen Hurts.
Well, we're talking about starter. What has Dobbs been the whole time in the NFL? He's been a backup. But we were always talking about a starting NFL quarterback. If we're talking about can Jalen Hurts stick around in the league and be on a roster, that's a totally different discussion. I'm talking about being an NFL every Sunday starter. Jalen Hurts is going to get drafted. Jalen Hurts is going to be on a roster, I suspect, for many, many years, because you can do things with him, you can do situations, and he's going to be a great locker room guy. But we're talking about a starter. I didn't know what you guys – I'm assuming you were just bringing that – because I agree with McShay. If that's what we're talking about, then I'm for sure, yeah, mid-round guy. Will he stick around on a roster and help a team? In situations, sure. But as an everyday starter, every week starter, I just don't see it.
You don't think he can be developed into that? No. Even if you don't think he's an everyday starter right now at this moment going into the draft, do you think in the right system he could be developed into that?
Nope. I just think it's too hard. It's one, you've got so many things going against you. If you run a lot, as we've seen, you're going to get hurt in the NFL. You're going to be injury prone. You're going to get hurt.
I think
hurt.
He has a better arm than some of the running quarterbacks that we've seen, though. I will say that.
Like who?
Mariota, for instance. I think that Hurts probably has a stronger – he's a better passer than Mariota.
But Mariota went second overall, and we're talking about Jalen Hurts in the fourth round?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what we knew then. Everybody thought Mariota was going to be a franchise quarterback then, and it turned out that he wasn't. I even thought he was going to be a franchise quarterback then. That's – you asked me to give you an example, and that's the first one that popped into mind.
Is he accurate enough? By the way, you don't. It doesn't change.
I think that's the thing, right? He's come a long way. He's come a long way in that department, right? A couple years ago, he basically lost the job just because his accuracy wasn't quite good enough, and they had somebody that was a little bit better when the bottom line was. But I think he's made strides in that area, right? Like he was getting it done as a runner who could throw just well enough, and that's all Alabama needed to win just about all of their games, but maybe not. I mean, like we said, they just happen to have a great weapon who was a little bit better as a passer. But I think he's made strides as a passer, but probably not enough to be a first-round pick.
Let me just tell you guys what I've learned from talking to people that know more than us, that have played the game, played the position. And this is what I've been told, or were a scout. You don't change accuracy. It doesn't change. You're either accurate enough, you can either make the throws or you can't. It's not going to change from one level to the next. Okay, you don't become an accurate passer in the pros when you don't have it in college. If people are questioning accuracy, it's going to come into play and come to roost in the NFL. It doesn't change. You don't get coached into accuracy. Either you can make the throws or you can't. That's what you have to say about Jalen Hurts or anybody else. Can they make the throws?
All right, let's bring
or not. It's not going to change.
I mean, his completion percentage last year at Oklahoma was almost 70%.
I don't ever count Kyle. I don't care. Guess what? Dwayne Haskins, what was his completion percentage? Don't ask Stephen A. Smith, but what was his completion percentage in college football at Ohio State? Pretty darn good.
I would say it's
right?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. How has that translated thus far at Washington? All we hear is them thinking about drafting another quarterback. So what happened to all that?
You're really
great
using the Washington Redskins as an example. they fire their coach halfway through the year, and
that's a fair point. But let's bring in another angle here of how you might, in the modern thinking, use Jalen Hurts. And this is another thing that Mel Kiper brought up in this interview that I'm reading off the 24/7 Sports website. Could you think about a Taysom Hill type of role for Jalen Hurts? Would that be something you think
that
about?
That is what you were bringing up earlier, what we have learned. But then it takes a coach like Sean Payton that is willing to use them in that role. And is the player okay being used in that role? Clearly, Taysom Hill was perfectly fine signing up for that role. I don't know if he actually wanted to do it, but maybe he realized that was the only chance he was going to be staying on an NFL roster.
And the Saints think highly of him and that he could be the quarterback of the future, and I think that they're proving that because they let Teddy B go. Teddy B's going to Carolina, and Taysom Hill's still in New Orleans behind Brees.
That's going to be a really interesting thing to watch for certain. But you did see in the playoffs, you know, The Titans used Marcus Mariota sparingly, of course, but there was a play or two where they put him in there in certain packages. So I can see – I wonder if teams will start looking for guys like that. If it's your backup quarterback, maybe it's even your third-string quarterback, if he's a unique player like Hill who can catch a pass or make a block or even run the ball for you. You know, I'm just wondering how they'll start to evolve with that.
Okay, so if I ask you guys – Marcus Mariota's 5 years here. Could he make all the throws?
No.
I mean, he could at times, but not consistently, right? He wasn't, and he didn't have great receivers around him, all the things we've discussed for years. But the bottom line is he was inconsistent.
That's excuse making. I don't want to I don't want to talk about his because you know what? Ryan Tannehill went in there and lit it up, and all of a sudden, some of these guys that weren't good enough, they were much better with Tannehill. So I don't want to hear about it. They tried everything and anything to get it going. They gave him every opportunity. The bottom line is he couldn't make all the throws. And guess what? We talked to people before the Titans ever drafted him, and I used to ask them every time, can he make every throw at the next level?
Yeah, but he made enough of the throws in the combine and all those things to be the second pick of the draft. You know what I'm saying? Like Jalen Hurts isn't going to – but Jalen Hurts isn't going to make all the – like Mariota could make all the throws enough in the combine and the pro days and everything to be the second pick in the draft. That's where I'm getting at. Like, he couldn't do it consistently in the league. Jalen Hurts, I don't think, will do it well enough to even get picked in the first round. He's going to go in the mid rounds, right? Maybe in the lower rounds. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also doesn't have the measurables of Mariota either, which, you know, they do look at that stuff. So I'm just saying, it's just personal opinion. I don't have anything. I wish nothing but the best for him. I hope he does make it. I'm just saying, if you're asking me to be honest, which I have over the years, and I know it makes a lot of people mad when they hear that Jake Locker isn't good enough or Marcus Mariota isn't good enough at this level, it's just an assessment. And I'm not always right. I'm wrong. I questioned Dwayne Haskins coming out. We had a former producer that looked at me and thought I was absolutely out of my mind to say that. And maybe it changes. Maybe Dwayne Haskins turns into a franchise quarterback. I don't know, but I'm just saying I questioned him coming out of Ohio State that he could make the throws. Is he accurate enough to make the throws in the NFL? And right now it's yet to be determined. We don't know. And I see the same stuff in Jalen Hurts. I think he's a great young man. I think he is a fantastic kid. He clearly has been raised right. But it takes more than just that to last in the NFL, especially at the quarterback position. And right now, my body of work of watching his entire college football career is that week in and week out, he just cannot make all the throws enough to hold down an everyday starter. That's just my opinion. I hope I'm wrong, and we'll see how it plays out. Willie, tell us about Lee Company, and then we'll find out what everybody knows. We'll do This Is What I Know on the other side.
Okay, let me tell you what I know about Lee Company. It's the same thing I've been telling you for a long time. They've been a big part of keeping our house, which is old. It's over 100 years old now. Built in 1913, so it needs upkeep. It needs people staying on top of things, especially things like your air conditioner, your heater. Did run the air conditioning a little bit the last couple of days. And we have annual checkups through the home maintenance plan of Lee Company. Go to LeeCompany.com and find out all their services that are available to you. 615-567-1000. You can also make that online appointment if you go on their website, LeeCompany.com, and check out all the array of services they have. But I really recommend the home maintenance plan. A way to kickstart it, perhaps, is if you haven't had your air conditioning checked in a while, you know the summer months are coming. You're going to want that baby running efficiently. Don't wait until it gets hot and then find out, you know what, I should have had it serviced a month ago. Don't do that. So call Lee Company now, 615-567-1000, and make an appointment. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, Twig time. Tell us what you know. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Tell us what you know. Lady Antebellum tickets on the line. A pair of tickets to see Lady Antebellum. A special guest, Jake Owen and Maddie. Maddie and Tay at Bridgestone Arena. That will be on Saturday, September 12th. Saturday, September 12th, Lady Antebellum, Bridgestone Arena, with special guest Jake Owen, Saturday, September 12th. So there you go. That's what's on the line. Tell us what you know. Who wants to start?
I can start if you want.
Go ahead.
This is what I know. Yesterday, and you know, I'm a big country music fan. 90s country is probably my favorite, and one of one of my favorites, passed away yesterday after complications with COVID-19, Joe Diffie, who, of course, was known for Pickup Man and had Ships That Don't Come In, a lot of different songs, Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox. And I listened to a lot of Joe Diffie yesterday when I got that news. I mean, he had just announced that he had it just a couple days prior. So very, very sad day for me and a lot of people that I know that are big country music fans. So what I know is Joe Diffie, one of the greats, gone way too soon.
That's actually one that I was going to throw in there. Pretty sad news when we all learned of that. This is what I know. John Jones, who is a fantastic fighter in mixed martial arts, maybe the greatest we've ever seen in MMA. Maybe the greatest. But his career, his resume, is always going to have a gigantic black cloud, stain, whatever you want to call, over it, because the dude just doesn't get it. I mean, he just doesn't get it. Arrested again in New Mexico for alleged aggravated DWI and negligent use of a firearm. This was at the end of last week, according to Albuquerque police. He was charged with the possession of an open container and no proof of insurance. This is just time after time after time. He's been suspended for, what, a year? I mean, he just doesn't get it. I don't know how many more wake-up calls John Jones. Clearly, he doesn't care or can't fix himself, can't change. I don't know. Doesn't want to. I don't know what it is. All the above. He's a tremendous talent. Like I said, maybe the best we've ever seen. I don't even know if it's really debatable. I mean, he's never lost. Yeah, technically he lost at the beginning of his career. He was disqualified for an elbow, but if you watched it, I mean, he was going to destroy Hamill. He's never lost. And in this sport, to go that many years, I mean, how long has he been at it now? To never really ever lose and has really dominated most every fight for the most part, for the bulk of his career, it's a shame. And there's no way for him to get out of it. He is always going to have the stain of all the stuff out of the octagon on his resume, and he just doesn't get it. And it's sad that he won't change and he won't fix his life and have us stop talking about him being a knucklehead out of the octagon. But John Jones, back at it again, back another run-in with the law, and it's just a shame. But I don't feel sorry for him because he can change and he chooses not to. So John Jones, what I know is he's always been a knucklehead, and he continues to be a knucklehead. He's great at what he does, but he just won't get his stuff together out of the octagon. So that's what I know.
Do you think the UFC does enough? I don't. I'm answering my own question, but I want to know your opinion because you've been a fan for a long time and done shows. You've talked to Dana White on several occasions. But John Jones, in my mind, isn't the only example of a guy that has gotten chance after chance after chance after chance and still doesn't learn anything from it.
I think Dana White has done what a lot of sports have done, or teams. Just think about it. He's not just a guy. The guy. I mean, he sells tickets. He has made them a fortune. You know, Greg Hardy, do you think if he couldn't play or was just a guy, the Dallas Cowboys would have signed him after everything we had learned when he was in Carolina? You know what I mean? It's and then once they brought him in and once he played and then he wasn't that good, wasn't the same guy, look how quickly they got rid of him. It's like all of a sudden then it's like, hey, let's take a stand against Greg Hardy. You know, sports teams and owners are phony. If you can make them money or you can win them games, you know, they're phony about it. Do I think that they did enough? No. Do any of them do enough? Probably not. No. But, you know, on some of this, I don't blame the sport. At some point, Chase, when you're a grown man in this case or an adult, it's up to you to figure it out. It's not up to somebody to hold your hand and make you change and figure out that what you're doing, you know, you're ruining your career. And, you know, and so at some point, don't you have to be an adult?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But they're not. But they don't hold him to that. That's my point.
But they have. I mean, he's had wake up calls. He's turned into a villain. I mean, he's a champ. He's the greatest of all time, and he's more of a villain because people can't stand his attitude, and people can't stand the way he carries himself, and people can't stand that he's in the news for stuff like this all the time, and it still hasn't served as a wake up call. He's been suspended time after time, and it hasn't changed him. So, what do you do if somebody isn't willing to change their life? Just kick him out of the sport?
I mean, at some point you might have to. They're not going to, but
yeah,
I mean,
at some point
you're asking me. I mean, at some point you just, you know, you gotta cut him loose.
Well,
sounds to be like one of you guys is going to put this guy on the list on Friday.
Yo, he's list worthy. He's definitely
he's
a
list worthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, I'm going to take the low hanging fruit here. This is what I know. I follow a lot of people in a lot of different areas. I feel like I'm well-rounded, my follows on Twitter. I follow a lot of sports people, hockey, basketball, football, baseball. I follow music people. I follow news people. I have never seen a show take up a higher percentage of the timeline than I have with Tiger King. Is that fair to say? I have never seen... people in all facets. I don't care if it's a news person, a sports person, a music person, or whatever. Every single person, not every person, but everybody in those categories is represented. It's the highest percentage I've ever seen a show take up stuff on a timeline. I've never seen anything like it. Of course, the circumstances, we've never seen circumstances that we're all in right now because of the coronavirus. But that being said, it's like the perfect storm for a show. It's just a total takeover. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we had Alex Bowman on Friday, NASCAR driver, and what did he want to talk about? Tiger King.
The first thing he said. Yep. Yeah.
It is amazing, but, you know, that's the time that we're in. I mean, what else are we going to talk about?
But it's one show. It's amazing how this one show has risen to the top more than any other show. I mean, there's other shows out there.
Right.
Nothing like this. It's the most surreal show, of course, that's ever been.
True. 615-737-1025.
Yeah, where are you? That's what I know. We need participation.
Nothing?
We got nothing.
Oh,
we got
come
crickets.
On. Boo. Boo. We got Lady Antebellum tickets with Jake Owen at Bridgestone Arena in September on a Saturday night. Come on. Are you kidding me? Nobody knows anything?
No. Apparently
that's another. That's another problem. We don't know anything anymore.
We have somebody on the text, but that's it.
Boo. Boo. You know what? We'll have to put This Is What I Know on the list on Friday. What a shame. All right. Well, we'll just hold those tickets.
Remember the scene from Spaceballs that I can't repeat, but they're combing the desert and he asks, like, what have you found? That's This Is What I Know right now.
Mm. Boo to Wick. All right, we'll come back. Third hour, we'll head east. We'll go to Knoxville. We'll bring in Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal. We'll do that next.